B'siyata d'shemaya, we're going to learn Tainis Daf Chof Hei. We're going to start 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Dalad Omid Beis. And we're going to learn about Reb Chanino ben Doisa. Says the Gemara, Reb Chanino ben Doisa hava ka'ozil bo'urcha. Reb Chanino ben Doisa was walking on the road. Also mitra, it started raining. Omar lefonov. So Reb Chanino ben Doisa said to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, kol ha'olam kuloi benachas. It's true that the whole world appreciating the rain and are at ease. V'chanino betzar, but Chanino is in distress because I'm trying to go on my journey and the rain is bothering me. Posak mitra, and indeed the rain stopped as a result of Reb Chanino's tefillah. Kimoto lebeisi, when Reb Chanino arrived at his home, Omar lefonov, he again davened to Hashem and said, Ribbono shel Olam, kol ha'olam kuloi betzar. Now the whole world is in distress because they want the rain and the rain had stopped. V'chanino benachas, but I, Chanina, I'm at ease because I don't have any fields. Reb Chanina was a very poor man. He didn't have any fields. Also mitra, and the rain came down as a result of that tefillah. Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef commented on that, "My ahanyo leitzloisa de kohen gadol legabi Reb Chanina ben Doisa." We know the kohen gadol, he davened, and we'll soon see what his tefillah was. And it seems that Reb Chanina ben Doisa managed to override even the tefillah of the kohen gadol. Ditnan we learnt in the Mishnah. Hoyo mispalil tefillah ktsara bebeis achitzoin, when the kohen gadol would come out of the kodesh hakodoshim after doing the avoda on Yom Kippur, then in the outer chamber he would say a short tefillah. My matzli, what would he daven? Rovin barada, v'rova barada de omri tarvayu mishmeid Rav Yehuda. They both said in the name of Rav Yehuda that his davening was as follows: Yirotzin milfanecho Hashem elekeinu, it should be your will, Hashem, shetehei ashono hazu geshumo ushechuno, that this year should be rainy and hot. And now the Gemara interrupts and says, shechuno ma'al yasehi? Is it a benefit that it should be a hot year? Adarab greusahi. On the contrary, it's a problem if it's hot. If it gets too hot, then the fruits and the vegetables will get dried out. Elo says the Gemara, what the Kohen Gadol actually said was, Im shechuno tehei geshuma utelula, that if it's a year that's been destined to be a hot year, then it should be rainy and have a lot of tal, a lot of dew, in order to counteract the dryness of the heat. And that was part of the tefillah of what the Kohen Gadol davened. And the Kohen Gadol continued, V'alikonis lefanecho tefillas ovrei drachim, that the tefillas of the travelers who are davening that there should not be rain because the rain is bothering them on the way, that those tefillas should not be accepted, and there should be rain so that the fruits and the vegetables and the crops can be plentiful. Rabacha b'reidu rova mesai mishmeid Rav Yehuda. They said, it was said in the name of Rav Yehuda, that how would the Kohen Gadol end his tefillah? That lo ya'adi oveid shulton mid beis Yehuda, that the rulers, the kings, should not leave the house of Yehuda, the descendants of Yehuda. The kings should all be descendants of the tribe of Yehuda. And that the people in Klal Yisrael should not need to receive their sustenance from each other, nor should they need to rely on any other nation. And over here we see that the Kohen Gadol davened that Hashem should not listen to the tefillah of the travelers, and Reb Chanina ben Doisa, being a traveler, he davened that the rain should stop, and Hashem listened to his tefillah. And that's what Rav Yosef said, that the tefillah of Reb Chanina ben Doisa could override even the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav, B'chol yoyim v'yoyim baskel yoytzis v'imeres. Every day a heavenly voice called out and said as follows, Kol ha'olam kuloi nizoin b'shvil Chanina b'ni. The whole world receives its sustenance in the merit of my son Chanina. V'chanina b'ni, but Reb Chanina, my son, dayoi b'kav churuvim me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. It was sufficient, he could survive on just a single kav of carobs from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos, from one Friday to the next Friday. Continues the Gemara, Haver Gila de Bisu, that it was a habit of the wife of Reb Chanina ben Doisa, Lemichamo Tanura Kol Mailo Shabsa, that she would heat up the oven every single Erev Shabbos, like everybody heats up their ovens on a Friday. Veshadyo Aktarto, and she would throw into the oven something that causes smoke to come up because she was embarrassed. She didn't have anything. They were very, very poor. She had nothing to cook or bake for Shabbos. Everybody else was baking challahs for Shabbos and making a dough for Shabbos, and she didn't have anything. So she would put something into the oven that would make smoke with this effect, as if it was she was baking something. Mishum kisufa, because she was embarrassed that she had nothing to put in the oven. She had this neighbor that was a mean person. Omron, this neighbor, said to herself, Mechta, let's see. Yodano de les lehuv loy midi. I know that Reb Chanina and his wife don't have anything to cook or bake. Michael Lehai, what's this smoke coming out of the oven? So she decided she was going to go and knock on the door of Reb Chanina ben Doisa, possibly to harass his wife. Ozlo v'torfa bova. She went and knocked on the door of Reb Chanina's home. Ichsefa. And Reb Chanina's wife was very embarrassed. Va'aylo l'indroino. And she withdrew to some inner chamber. Is avid lo nisa. A miracle happened to Reb Chanina's wife, to Reb Chanina. Dechazio l'tanura moli lechmo. That her neighbor suddenly saw that that oven that was that had previously been empty was actually full of bread. Va'agono moli lisha. And the kneading trough was full of dough. Omrole, so the neighbor called out to the wife of Reb Chanina ben Doisa, Ploniso, Ploniso. Ploniso is just the female way of saying Ploni, which is some unidentified person. It's what we would say, Mrs., Madam. Aisa Moso, Dukachorich Lachmich, quickly bring a baker's shovel because your bread is getting burnt in the oven. Omrolo, Reb Chanina's wife replied to this neighbor, Af Anol Hochi Ailo. Indeed, that's exactly the reason I went to go to the inner chamber, was in order to bring out this shovel to remove the bread from the oven. Tana, and was one of the Tanoim taught, Afi lehovi marado nichnasa, that actually it was true that when she went to the inner chamber, she went in order to bring this shovel, mipnei shemulumedes benisim, because the wife of Reb Chanina ben Doisa was accustomed to miracles happening, and even though she had an empty oven, she would go inside one of the inner rooms to bring out a shovel, assuming that the time she comes out, there would be an oven full of bread waiting for her. Another story says the Gemara, Omro le dubisu. At one point, Reb Chanina ben Doisa's wife said to Reb Chanina ben Doisa, Ad emes nezel v'nitzdair kulehai. How long are we going to have to continue suffering like this from such poverty? Omer lo. Reb Chanina said to his wife, My neved, what should we do? You have a solution? So she said, Boy rachma, daven to Hashem to have mercy on us. Denesu loch midi should give you something of value, so we should have some money. Bo rachmi. So Reb Chanina ben Doisa davened, Yotso kamin pisas yad, something that looked similar to the palm of a hand, emerged from heaven. V'yovu leichad karo diftoiro d'davo. And they gave to him, to Reb Chanina ben Doisa, this hand gave to him a leg of a golden table. Chazoi b'chelmo. So he said to her, it's a discussion who had this dream, but he said, I've seen in a dream that asido tzadika, that in the future the tzadikim, de ochle aftoiro de davo, that they're going to eat at golden tables, de islet las kari, that has three legs, three-legged tables. Va'at oicheles, but you, my wife, are going to be eating aftoiro de bay kara, at a table that has only two legs. Because one of the legs we just received as a gift from heaven. Omro le, so she said to him, Nichloch de Mechel Ochli Kule Alma Aftoiro de Mishlam. So she asked him, are you okay with that? That everybody's going to be eating from a complete table, Vanan Aftoiro de Mechser, but our table is going to be lacking one of the feet? Omro le, she said to him, Umay Nevid, well, what can we do? How can we undo this issue? How can we rectify the situation? Boy rachma, denishkelinu minoch, daven, chanina, daven to Hashem, that the same hand that gave us this leg should take it back. Boy rachma, daven to Hashem, ushkalu, and they took it back. Tona, and we learned in a brisa, that godil hoyo nesa achrein yoisa minarishin. The second miracle, that the hand took the leg back, was a greater miracle than the fact that the hand gave them that leg. The Gemiri, because we have a tradition, the mehav yovi, that from heaven things are given, mishkol lo shokli, but they are not taken back. Continues the Gemara, another incident. Chad beishimsha, it was one Erev Shabbos, chazio lebrate dehava atzivas. Reb Chanina ben Daisa saw that his daughter was sad. Omar lo, biti, said to her, my daughter, lemaya atzivas, why are you sad? Omrole, she said to him, Kli shel choymetz nischalifli b'kli shel shemen. By mistake, instead of pouring oil into the Shabbos candles, I poured vinegar into the Shabbos candles, v'idlakti mimenu oir l'Shabbos. And I lit the Shabbos candles with it, and obviously those Shabbos candles would very soon get extinguished. Vinegar can't burn as oil. Omer lo, Reb Chanina ben Daisa said to his wife, Biti, my ich besloch, my daughter, what do you care? What does it matter? Misha Omar l'shemen v'yidlik, the same Hashem that told oil to burn, hu yoyimar l'chumetz v'yadlik, he can tell vinegar to burn as well. Tona, and indeed we learnt in a brisa that hoya doylik v'hoylich kol hayom kuloi, that lamp that had vinegar in it, not oil, continued to burn the entire Shabbos, ad she'hiviu mimenu oir l'avdola, until they took a flame from this candle for avdola. They didn't say Avdolah on this actual candle because there's an issue with having a benefit from a candle, from a light, from anything that was made, created by a miracle. But he would light a different candle from it, and that's the candle they would benefit from with by Avdolah. Another incident, says the Gemara, Reb Chanina ben Daisa havalu hanoch izi. Reb Chanina ben Daisa had these goats, Omru lei, and the people, they were complaining to him and said, Komaf sedon, that your goats are destroying or damaging us, they're damaging our fields. Omar, so Reb Chanina ben Daisa said to these people, Ikom afsidon, if it's true that these goats are damaging your fields, nichlinu duba, then the bears should eat up these goats. Ve'iloi, but if what you've claimed is not true, then kol chada v'chada teisa le'urta duba b'karnayu, then each goat is going to bring home with it in the evening a bear on its horns. Lu'urta, indeed in the evening, Aise kol chada v'chada duba b'karnayu, each and every goat brought back a bear on its horns, because those people that came complaining to Reb Chanina ben Daisa, obviously it wasn't true that these goats were causing damage to anybody. Another miracle that happened with Reb Chanina ben Daisa, Havali ahi shivavta, there was this woman, neighbor of Reb Chanina, the Kabonyo Besa, she was building a house, Vloimotu Kashura, but the problem is the beams were too short and they didn't reach from one wall to the next. Asyola Kame, so this neighbor came to Reb Chanina ben Daisa, Omrole, and said to him, Bonisi Besi, I've built my house, Vloikamoti Kashurai, but the beams are not reaching from side to side. Omrolo Mashmeich, so he asked this neighbor, what's your name? Omrole, so she said to him, my name is Aiku. Omar, so Reb Chanina ben Daisa said to this neighbor called Aiku, Aiku nimti kashuraich. Aiku, may your beams reach from wall to wall, which he was almost saying those beams should get extended. Tona, we learnt in a brisa, that higiu ad sheyotzu amolakan v'amolakan. They extended so much that they actually protruded beyond the end of each wall, on the other side of the wall, an amma on each side. V'yesh oimrim, and some say that sniffin asom, that actually the way that they became longer was that added sections on each side, little pieces were added to it, and so to speak, this beam became a longer beam. In Tanya, we learnt in a braisa, plimoy oimir, aniro isi oise abayis. Plimoy said, I saw that house of that was built miraculously, the neighbor of Reb Chanina ben Daisa. Ro'isi, ani ro'isi o'isi abayis, v'hoyu k'ro'isov yoitzois amolokan v'amolokan. And I saw that there was a protrusion of these beams on each side of the house, of the wall, an amo. V'omru li, and the people told me, bayis zeh shakeiro Reb Chanina ben Daisa b'tfilosoi. This is the house that Reb Chanina ben Daisa covered with the beams through his tefillah. Continues the Gemara. And we mentioned before the goats of Reb Chanina ben Daisa. The Gemara is now asking Reb Chanina ben Daisa, Meheichon havyilu izim? Reb Chanina ben Daisa was a very poor man. Where did he have goats from? V'ha'oni hava. He was very, very poor. V'oid, Omru Chachomim, and also we have another issue. Can it be that Rav Chanina ben Doisa had goats? Did the Chachomim not say Ein Megadlin Bei Modako Be'eretz Yisrael was not allowed to raise small animals, small cattle in Eretz Yisrael? For a number of different reasons, we're going to learn about that in Baba Kama Daf Ayin Tes. Answers the Gemara Omer of Pinchas. There was an incident. Maisa v'ovar odom echod al pesach beisoy. There was this person that was passing by the doorway of Rav Chanina ben Doisa's house. V'niach sham tarnegolin, and he just put down some of his chickens there. U'matzalson ishtei shel Rav Chanina ben Doisa. Rav Chanina ben Doisa's wife found these chickens. V'omar lo, and Rav Chanina told her, al toichli mi beitzeim. Don't eat from the eggs. They don't belong to you. They belong to the original owner, and they have to be given back to the original owner. And it's now, so to speak, lost property, but it's not yours. V'hirbu beitzim v'tarnegolim. And eventually the eggs hatched into more chickens, and the chickens laid more eggs, and they had a tremendous amount of eggs and chickens. V'hoyim. And these chickens and the eggs, they were becoming a bother for Rav Chanina and his wife. U'macharon. So they sold the eggs and the chickens, the konobid men, and with the money that they received from the sales, they bought izim, they bought goats. Pam achas ovar oise odom. At one point, that person, she'ovdu mimenu atarnegoilim, the one who lost those chickens and obviously remembered that he'd lost those chickens, he now came back to the home of Rav Chanina ben Doisa. Va'omar l'chaveiroi. And he happened to mention to his friend, "Bekan hinachti atarnegolim sheli." I seem to remember that I left some chickens here. Shomer Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina overheard this. Omar loy. Rav Chanina said to this person, "Yesh lecha bohen simon? Do you have any simon, an identifying mark with those chickens?" We'll learn in Bob Matzia Ilumatzias what can become a simon. But do you have any simon to prove to me that they were yours? Omar loy hen. He said yes. Nosa no simon. He gave him the simon, and Rav Chanina realized this was truly the owner of those chickens. V'notelosu izim. Rav Chanina took those goats and said, V'hein izei da'aisa duba b'karnayu. He gave the goats back. But those goats that didn't belong to Rav Chanina ben Doisa, it was just lost property. They were bought from money of the lost chickens and eggs. Then those were the goats that we mentioned before, that they brought the bears on their horns. Continues the Gemara. Rebbe Lezer ben Pedos dechikale milsa tuva. Rebbe Lezer ben Pedos was very, very poor. Ovad milsa. At one point, he did something. What it means is, Rashi says, he let some blood. Velehavale midi limitam. And after one lets blood, then it's important to eat. We saw that in Shabbos Tavkuf Choftes. And he had nothing to eat. He was so poor. Shokal bra de tumo. He took a clove of garlic. Vashad yibapume, and put it into his mouth. Cholash libe, he grew faint, venim, and he fell asleep. Ozul rabbonon lishulebe, the chachomim came to inquire how he was feeling. Chazyu, and they saw the koboche v'choich. They saw that this Rebbe Lozo ben Pedos, in his sleep, he was crying and laughing. Venofak tzitzisa denura mi'apuse, and a ray of light, a spark of light, emanated from his forehead. Kitar, when he woke up, Omru Lei, then the Chachomim asked him, "Mai tam kobochis v'choiches? Why were you crying? Why were you laughing?" Omer Luhus Rebbe Lozo ben Pedos said to the Chachomim, "Da'ave Yosef imi Hakadosh Baruch Hu, I had a dream that Hashem was sitting with me. V'omri Lei, and I said to Hashem, 'At Mosa etzdair b'hai alma, how long am I going to continue suffering in this world?' V'omer Li, and Hashem said to me, 'Elozor b'ni, Elozor my son, nichaloch da'afchei la'olma mereisha,' would you like me to turn the whole world back to the beginning and recreate it from scratch? Efsha, then maybe, perhaps, demis yaldas b'shai to demizayna. You'll be born at a time where there'll be more food, more sustenance, because the amount of sustenance a person gets is also influenced by the time that he's born. Omri lekame. So I said to Hashem, 'Kule hai ve'efsha, you'd do all this, you'd recreate the whole world from scratch, and then it's only a possibility, it's only a maybe that the situation would improve.' Omri lei, and I then said to Hashem, 'Dechayit fei oy dechayeno?' What is more, is the years, the days, the months, the years that I've lived so far, the greater part of my life, or what I am still destined to live before my life is over, is more? Which one is greater? The amount of my life I've already lived, or the amount of my life ahead of me? Omer li, Hashem said to me, Dechoyis, the amount that you've already lived is longer, is more than the days that you're still destined to live. Omri lekame. So I said to Hashem, Im kain, if so, loy bi'ina. I don't want you to turn the whole world upside down and to start from scratch. Since I've only got a smaller, relatively smaller part of my life still to live, and then I'll be in the world to come where I'll get a reward, it's not worth starting from scratch. Omer li, Hashem said to me, Bahai agra de omras loy ba'ina, as a reward for saying that I don't need to, that you don't want to turn the world on its face and to start from scratch, yohivna loch l'alma da'osi, I'm going to give you in the next world, tleisrei naharvoso de mishcha, 13 rivers of an oil, the mishcha, farasamoin oil, dachion, which is as clear kipros v'diglas, like the river Pros and the river Diglas. Dema'angus be, and you'll be able to enjoy them in the world to come. Omri lekame. So I said to Hashem, Hai v'su loy, is that all I'm going to get? I'm not going to get anything more in the world to come. Omer li, Hashem said to me, Ulechavroch ma'yehivna. Well, what am I going to give your friend? What am I going to give? If I give everything to you, what will I have to give anybody else? Omri li, I said to Hashem, Va'ano migavra delesli, but you know? And the Marashah explains that this means is that I wasn't asking for a portion of the reward that's coming to somebody else. I'm asking for the portion of the reward that would have come to somebody else, but that somebody else is not deserving of that reward, so that you can give me. And this is based on the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Tezvov. Other Mefarshim explained that what Rabbi Elazar ben Pados was saying was, am I asking reward, an extra reward, from somebody who's limited? I'm asking from you, Hashem. You're not limited. So says the Gemara, Mochion ba'askutlo apusya, which means that Hashem, so to speak, he flicked me with his fingers on my forehead, which is why that spark emanated from his forehead. Va'omer li, and Hashem said to me, Elozo b'ri, Elozo my son, girei boch giri, my arrows have struck you, my arrows. And this was just a way of showing how happy Hashem was with Rabbi Elazar ben Pados. And coming back to the original part of the story, why did he cry and why was he laughing, smiling? He cried when Hashem told him that most of your life has already passed, and he was very happy and smiling when Hashem told him about the tremendous reward he was going to get in the world to come. Continues the Gemara. And this takes us back to where we were on Daf Chof Dalet, a number of different incidents of people who there was fast days, they decreed fast days, and they davened when the tefillahs, some were answered, some were not answered. Reb Chama Bar Chanina Gozar Tanisa. At one point, Reb Chama Bar Chanina, he proclaimed a fast because they needed rain. V'le'osu mitzra, but the rain didn't come. Omrule. So the people said to Reb Chama Bar Chanina, V'horeb Yeshua ben Levi. But Rabbi Shua ben Levi gozar tanisa va'osa mitra. When Rabbi Shua ben Levi decreed and proclaimed a fast day, then his tefillahs were accepted. And why are yours not being accepted? Omar luhu. So he said to them, Ho ano, hor bailiv bar livoi. How can you compare us? I am just me, Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. You're comparing me to the son of Levi, Rabbi Shua ben Levi? He's much greater than I am. And that's why his tefillahs were answered. Imru le denaisi. Go and tell Rabbi Shua ben Levi that he should come here. And together we will concentrate our minds and focus on the davening. And then maybe the community, the people, will break their hearts, will break the stubbornness of their hearts and do tshuva. And then the rain will come down. And the Mefarshim ask, why didn't Reb Chama Bar Chanina just send a message to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that he should daven for the rain, as we saw before, that his tefillahs were answered? And the Ben Ish Chayim explains, has got an explanation here. But either way, Bo'on Rachamei V'le'osu Mitri, they davened, and still rain didn't come down. Omar Luhusu, he said to the people, Nicha Lechu She'yovoi Motor B'shvileinu, are you agreeable? Are you okay? that the rain should come down just in our merit, in the merit of me, Reb Chama Bar Chanina, and Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who's davening with us, Omru Le, Hein. And they said, yes, we're okay with that. Omar, so he said, Rokia, Rokia. He said, sky, sky, he's talking to the heaven. Kasi ponayich, cover your face with clouds. Lo yikasi, and the sky still did not become overcast with clouds. Omar, he said, kamo azin pnei rokia, how brazen is the face of the sky. Ikasi, immediately the sky became overcast, v'osa mitra, and it started raining. Another incident, Levi gozar tanisa. At one point, Levi proclaimed a fast day, v'leosa mitra, and the rain didn't come down. Omar lefonov, he said to Hashem, ribayne sheloilam, oliso v'yoshavtu bamorim, you went up, so to speak, you're sitting high in the heavens, v'eina tamrachim al banecho, and you have no mercy on your children. Osa mitra, and the rain came down. V'itla. However, Levi became lame because it was an inappropriate way to speak to Hashem. Omer Rebelozo. Rebelozo said, La'olam al yatiach odom dvorim klapim mailo. A person should never cast words up towards Hashem. That means a person shouldn't complain and speak in that way to Hashem. Shari odom godli tiach dvorim klapim mailo. A very great person, referring to Levi, he threw words of complaint up towards Hashem, v'itla, and he became lame because of it. Umani, who was that person? Levi. It was Levi. Asks the Gemara, v'ha gormale? Was that the reason he became lame? V'ha Levi ach v'kido. Levi did a maneuver called kido, which was where he puts his toes onto the ground and then bends right over and manages to kiss the ground that way, which was some maneuver. Ach v'kido kamedu Rebbe, he did this kido maneuver in front of Rebbe, v'itla, and then he became lame. So we see it was the kido bow that made him lame, not his disrespect to Hashem. Answers the Gemara, ha v'ha gormale, they were both together caused it to him. Because he spoke disrespectfully to Hashem, that's why when he did the kido bow, that's why he became lame at that point. Continues the Gemara, Reb Chiya bar Lulyoni, Shom'inu lahach anoni de ka'omra. At one point, this Reb Chiya bar Lulani, he heard two clouds conversing together, saying to each other, Nesu v'nisve mayo, let's go and give water, ba'amoin in Moyov, to Amoin, to Moyov, which were places, countries that the Klal Yisrael were not there. Omar lefonov, Ribbono shel Olam. So Reb Chiya said to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, kishenosata Torah la'amcha Yisrael, when you gave the Torah to your people, chozarta al kol umos ha'olam, you first went round to all the nations of the world, offering them the Torah. V'lo kiblua, they didn't want to accept it. V'achsho v'atanoisin le'em motor, and now you're going to give them the rain? Shtoi hocha, let the clouds come and pour out the rain here in Eretz Yisrael, which is where Klal Yisrael are, those who received the Torah. Shodua aduchtei, and Hashem answered the tefillas, and the clouds poured the rain there in Eretz Yisrael. Continues the Gemara. Dora Reb Chiya bar Lulyoni. Something that this Reb Chiya that we just mentioned, he expounded as follows. Maidichsiv, how are we supposed to understand the following pasuk? The pasuk says, Tzadik katomor yifroch. A righteous man will flourish like a date palm. Ke'erez balvonoin yizge. And he's going to grow tall like a cedar in Lebanon, in Levonoin. So make up your mind. Is this tzaddik compared to a date palm, or is he compared to a cedar tree? Im nemar tomor. If you're going to say that the tzaddik is compared to a date palm, lomo nemar erez. Why is he like a cedar? V'im nemar erez, lomo nemar tomor. And if you're comparing the tzaddik to a cedar tree, why are you also comparing him to a date palm? Says the Gemara, said Reb Chiya, ilu nemar tomor v'loi nemar erez, if it would only say that tzaddikim are compared to a date palm and not to a cedar, then oisi oimer, I may have said that mar tomor, just in the same way as a date palm, ein giz oi machlif, the trunk of a date palm doesn't regenerate. It doesn't, once it gets removed, it doesn't grow back again. Af tzaddik chas v'sholem ein gizoi machlif. So too I may have thought that the tzaddik also, that his trunk, so to speak, does not regenerate. Which means that he's not going to grow up, he's not going to get up with tchias ha-mesim. That's why we compare the tzaddik to a cedar tree, to say that like a cedar tree, that its bark does, its trunk does regenerate, so too tzaddikim are going to regenerate at the resurrection of the dead at Tchias HaMesim. Ilu nemar erez, and on the other hand, if they would only compare the tzaddikim to a cedar tree, and not v'loy nemar tomor, and would not compare them to a date palm, Hoyisi Oimer, I may have said, Ma erez eino yisaperis, in the same way as a cedar tree does not produce fruits, Af tzaddik chas v'sholem eino yisaperis, so too, a tzaddik will not produce any fruits, and he will not receive his reward in the world to come. L'kach nemar tomor, v'nemar erez, that's why the tzaddik is compared also to a date palm, and also to a cedar tree. Asks the Gemara, Ve'erez gizoi machlif, and a cedar tree, is it true that the trunk of a cedar tree actually regenerates? Votanya, did we not learn in a brisa? Halekeach ilon mechaveri, if a person buys a tree from his friend, lokutz, in order to cut it down, in order to use it for firewood, to use the wood, magbioi minakarka tefach, he has to leave at least a tefach of the trunk above the ground. The koitzitz, and he will cut the tree a tefach off the ground in order that it can regenerate, it can regrow. Besadon hashikma, in the case of a sycamore trunk, if somebody wants to cut that down, then he has to leave shnei tfachim. He has to leave at least two tfachim off the ground. Bipsulas hashikma, in the case that he's cutting down a different type of shikma called a besulas hashikma, which is a type of a sycamore tree that had never been cut down, unlike the sadon hashikma that had once been cut down in the past. And in the case of the besulas hashikma, shleisha tvachim, you have to leave at least three tvachim off the ground in order to allow it to regenerate. Bakonim ubegefanim, in the case of reeds and vines, minapkok ulemailo, you're only allowed to cut it from the lowermost knot in this vine or in these reeds, and above it, in order that there'll be enough to be able to regenerate from there. Bidekolim uba'arozim, regarding date palms and cedar trees, choyfer lemata umashorish, he's allowed to even dig below the ground and uproot the tree entirely, lifisha'in gizoy machlif, because in any case the trunk is not going to regenerate, and therefore there's no necessity to keep any of the tree there at all. So you see clearly here that the cedar tree does not regenerate its trunk, unlike we saw before. Answers the Gemara Hocha b'mayoskinon. We're talking about b'shor mine arozim. There's a number of different types of cedar trees, and there's one type of cedar tree that does regenerate, and another type of cedar tree that doesn't regenerate. K'de Rabbi Bar Huna, like Rabbi Bar Huna learnt, and he said as follows, Omer Rabbi Bar Huna, asoro mine arozim heim. There are 10 different types of erez trees. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Etein Bamidbor Erez, I'm going to put in the desert a cedar tree, Shitov, a Hadas, etc. And here we already learnt in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph that in this Pasuk alludes to 10 different trees, 10 different types of Erez trees, and some of them regenerate, and some of them do not regenerate. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Maisa Berebeleza. There was once an incident with Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, Shagoza Shloisha Shei Tainus ala Tzibur. He proclaimed 13 fast days on the Tzibur, and we've already learned in the Masechta and early on Daf Yud Beis exactly what these 13 are. There's 3, and then another 3, and then 7. V'loyarudu goshamim, and nonetheless, the rain did not yet fall by the end of the 13 fasts. Ba'achroina, at the end of the final fast, people started leaving. They were leaving the shul, the place they were davening. Omar lehem, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus said to them, Tikantem kvorim la'atzmechem? Have you already prepared graves for yourself? Which is saying, since our tefillahs have not been answered, there's not going to be any rain, everyone's going to die of starvation, have you prepared your graves? Go kolom b'pchir. And all the people burst out crying. V'yordu g'shomim. And the rain fell. Shuv Maisa b'Rebbe Eliezer. There was another incident with Rebbe Eliezer. Sheyorad lifnei ateva, that he was the shliach tzibur leading the tfilas. Va'omar esrim v'arba brochis, and he said the 24 brochis that one says on a fast day. On some of the fast days, we saw this on Daf Tezvav. V'lo inano, and nonetheless, he wasn't answered. Yorad Rebbe Akiva acharov. Rebbe Akiva then, he was the shliach tzibur after him. Va'omar, and he said, Ovinu malkeinu ein lonu melech elo oto. Our father, our king, we have no king besides for you. Ovinu malkeinu leman chorachem oleinu. For your sake, have compassion on us. V'yordu g'shomim, immediately the rain fell. Havu meranini rabbonon. And some of the chachomim started talking, so to speak, against Rebbe Eliezer, saying, Rebbe Eliezer, your tefillahs were not answered. Rebbe Akiva's tefillahs were answered. Yotzta Baskel v'omra, a heavenly voice came out and said, Loi mipnei shezeh gadol mizeh. Don't think that Rebbe Akiva was bigger than Rebbe Eliezer. No. Elo shezeh maver al midoisov. Rebbe Akiva had some trait that was very unique, and that was that he was a very forgiving person. He was maver al midoisov. V'zeinu maver al midoisov. And Rebbe Eliezer didn't have this, the unique trait that Rebbe Akiva did, and that's why Rebbe Akiva's tefillahs were answered and Rebbe Eliezer's were not. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. And we saw earlier on in the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis that if there was a drought, there was no rain, they would have fast days. And if the rain still didn't come, they would decree more fast days and more fast days. The question is, how much rain has to fall in order to determine that that's it? It's no longer a drought and one doesn't need to declare any more fast days. Tanu Rabbanan, admosa iyu geshomim yerdim, how much rain has to fall, v'atzibur poskin mitanisom, and the people can stop fasting. Answers the Braisa, Kimloi Berech Hamachresha, the depth of the blade of the plough. Divi Reb Meir, that's how what Reb Meir says. That means if the ground got saturated to the depth of this hole, this furrow that was created by the plough, then once that amount of earth is saturated, then it's no longer considered a famine, a drought, and it was no longer necessary to continue the fast days. That's the opinion of the Reb Meir. The Chachomim said, it depends. Bechareva, if it's a dry soil, then tefach. Then if it penetrates just a tefach in very dry soil, that means that there was a lot of rain and that's enough. However, bebeinoinis, if it's a medium soil, not plowed soil, but also not very dry soil, there, bebeinoinis tfochaim, two tfochim is enough. If the water's penetrated, two tfochim, that's the amount of water that's needed to be considered that it's no longer necessary to continue fasting. But avuda, and however, if it's plowed soil, where it's very easy for the water to penetrate the first tefach or two, then in order to have proof that there's a sufficient amount of water, then b'shleisha tfochim, the rain has to have saturated and penetrated three tfochim to know that it's the end of the drought. Another braisa, Tanya, we learned, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ein lecha tefach milamala, that when there's no such, it never happens that the rain that falls from the sky penetrates a tefach in the ground, the rain coming from above, she'ein tahoim, that the deep waters of the tahoim, yoytze likrosoi, Shleisha tfachim. They rise three tfachim towards it. Under the ground, the depths of the waters under the ground, they rise three tfachim when as that much rain has come down that it has penetrated a tefach. Asks the Gemara Botanya tfachim, did we not learn in a different braisa that the deep waters rise up two tfachim, not three tfachim? Says the Gemara Leikasha, kan ba'avuda, kan ba'she'enu avuda. In the second braisa that says that the tahoim only rose two tfachim, that's talking about plowed soil. Since it doesn't take that much rain for a tefach to be absorbed in plowed soil, therefore the amount of water that rises from the tahoim is only two tfachim. However, kan b'she'enu avuda, the first braisa is talking about where the soil is not plowed, and to penetrate a tefach needs a much more significant amount of rain, and that amount of rain causes the tahoim to rise up towards it three tfachim. Continues the Gemara Omer Blozo, Kishamanaschim es hamayim b'chag, when they would pour the water on the Mizbeach during Sukkos, we know that normally the one would only pour wine on the Mizbeach. Besides for Sukkos, that besides for the wine, when bringing the Korban Tomid, they would also bring water. Then Tahoim Oimer Lechaveroi, then the deep waters, the Tahoim, would say to each other. And there's two types of Tahoim. There's the Tahoim of the lower waters, and there's the Tahoim of the upper waters. And they would say to each other, Abba Meimecha, pour forth your waters. Koil Shnei Reim Anishemea, I hear the voice, so to speak, of two friends, because there's two pourings. There's the water being poured and the wine being poured. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Tahoim El Tahoim Koire, the deep waters cry out, call out to the other deep waters, l'kol tzinerecha, from the roar of the water channels, and these two tzineres, these two channels, is the channels which are being poured into the wine and the water. Omar Rabba, l'didi chozi li hai Ridya, I saw this malach, this angel called Ridya, which is the malach in charge of the rain, upirsa sifvosi, domi le'egla, and his lips were parted similar to those of a calf. V'kaimo bein tohoimo tato l'tohoimo ilo. And this malach of the rain is standing between the tohoim, the upper tohoim, and the lower tohoim. L'tohoimo ilo, omar le, to the upper tohoim, the upper waters. What is this malach saying? He's saying, chashoir meimecha, sprinkle down your waters. L'tahoim otato, omar lei, the malach is saying to the lower tahoim, abo meimecha, pour forth your waters. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, hanitzonim, your blossoms, niru ba'oretz, are seen in the land. And the Pasuk actually goes like this, hanitzonim niru ba'oretz, that the blossoms have appeared in the land, eis hazomir hegia, the time of song has arrived, the koil hatoir, and the voice of a toyer, which normally means a dove, a type of a turtle dove, nishma barzenu, is heard in our land. And Rashi explains it goes as follows. Hanitzonim niru ba'oretz means that these nesochim, these two pourings, which are done just once a year, the whole year it's just one, just the wine, but when is it done twice? Two pourings only once a year. Just like blossoms appear once a year, so too this double pouring, including the water, is only once a year. So hanitzonim niru ba'oretz, when on Sukkos, that means when does the double pouring appear on the land? Eis hazomir higia, it's the time of the song, referring to the Yom Tov of Sukkos, has arrived. V'koil ha'toyer, toyer can also mean a bull. And this bull is referring to the calf-like angel that we mentioned, that the Koel HaToyer, the voice of that angel, is saying, Nishma Baratzenu, can be heard in our land, can be heard that the Malach is saying that rain should pour down onto the earth. That's how Rashi, in his first explanation, explains what the Gemara wants with this Pasuk. And now the Gemara is going back to the Mishnah. Hoyu mis'anin v'yordu g'shomim koidem anetzachama. If they were fasting, and they were fasting from Alois HaShachar, from dawn, and then before sunrise, before nets, it started raining. Do they have to continue the fast? And the Mishnah says that it depends. There's one opinion that says that if the rain came down before nets, they don't need to fast. Reb Elezer says that it's until midday. If the rain came until midday, then one would not have to fast after that. And the common denominator between all the opinions are that once the fast has started, you have to finish the fast. The question is, what's considered the start of a fast? Tanu Rabbanon, let's see this in a brisa. Hoyu mis'anin v'yordu lehem g'shomim koidem anetzachama. If they were fasting, and the rains fell before sunrise, before nets, lo yashlimu, they do not need to finish their fasts. Even though the fast started already from Alois, but it's not considered fasting until nets. And since it rained before, it's considered a fast, therefore they do not need to fast. La'achar netzachamo yashlimu. However, if the rain only came down after sunrise, then you have to fast the whole day. Divrei Reb Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda Omer, Koidem Chatzos Lo Yashlimu, that if the rain came before midday, they don't need to finish the fast. La'achar Chatzos Yashlimu, however, if the rain only came down after Chatzos, then at that time, it's already considered that you're fasting, even though the fast day starts from Alois. But till Chatzos is not really considered that you fast, because the normal time that a person has the main meal is at midday. And therefore, till midday, it's not considered that you've fasted. Once midday has arrived and you're still fasting, it's considered that you're actually fasting. You have to finish the fast until the end of the day. Rabbi Yossi says, Koidem teisha shois lo yashlimu. If it rained before 9 hours of the day, then you don't need to finish the fast. It's not yet considered as if you've fasted. La'achates shois, but if it rained after the 9 hours of the day, yashlimu, then you have to finish the fast. And these 9 hours here are the 9 hours, which is a 9/12 of the whole day. It's not 9 hours an hour clock. It's called shois zmanios. Shekein motzinu ba'achov melech Yisrael, because we find regarding Achov, the king of Yisrael, she'is'ane miteisha shois ulemaila, then he fasted from 9 hours of the day and onwards. Because until 9 hours, Achov wasn't considered that he fasted, because he was a king, he only woke up 3 hours into the day, and then for 6 hours, he wasn't used to having his meal. He would normally only eat his meal 9 hours into the day. So only from 9 hours into the day, it's considered a fast. Shenemar, we see in the Pasuk, Haro'iso kinichna Achov. Did you see that Achov had humbled himself? And since the Pasuk calls what Achov did as that he had fasted, that's how one of the things he did to humble himself. And his fast was that he didn't eat his regular meal 9 hours into the day. That's considered a fast. So that's why we see here in the Gemara, according to Reb Yossi, that till 9 hours of the day is not yet considered a fast. From 9 hours of the day is considered a fast. If 9 hours of the day have passed and the rain hasn't yet fallen, you have to finish the fast, even if rain falls after that. Reb Yehuda Nasiya Gozar Tanisa. At one point, Reb Yehuda Nasi, he proclaimed a fast day. This was a grandson of what we know as Rebbe. And the rain fell after Netzachamo. And he thought that the ruling should be they have to complete their fast. Reb Ami said no. Koidem chatzos v'achar chatzos shaninu. We learned in the Mishnah that it's dependent on midday. Since the rain fell before midday, even though it was after nets, but it was before midday, it's not necessary to continue the fast. Another story says the Gemara, Shmuel HaKotan, Gozar Taniso. At one point, Shmuel HaKotan, he proclaimed a fast day, V'yordu lem geshomim koidem anetzachamo, and it rained before nets. Kesvurim ha'om loimar, shvochi shel tziburhu. People, they were saying that this must be a sign of credit to the community that even before they'd fasted, Hashem had answered their tefillas. Omar lehem, Shmuel HaKotan said to them, no. Em shelechem moshel, I'll give you a parable. Lemoa dov adoyme, it's compared le'eved shemavakish pras merabui, to a servant who's asking for an allotment from his master. Omar lehem, the master said to his agents, Tnuloi, just give him what he's asking for. Va'aleshma b'koiloi. So I shouldn't have to hear his voice to ask me for it. So here too, Shmuel HaKotan was saying, the fact that Hashem gave you the rain so quickly doesn't necessarily mean that it's shvochoi shel tzibur, it's a praise for the people. It could well be that Hashem is saying, I don't want to hear your tefillas. Shuv Shmuel HaKotan gozar tanisa. On another occasion that Shmuel HaKotan decreed a fast day, and the rain fell after sunset. The people, they thought that that is the credit of the community, that the rain didn't fall until the end of the fast. And they thought, this Hashem telling us that I really want to hear your tefillas, so I'm going to wait and hear your tefillas till the end of the day, and then I'll give you the rain. And Shmuel again said, no. Loi shvach shel tzibur, it's not necessarily the credit of the community of the tzibur. Elam shel lechem moshel, I'll give you a parable. Lemoa dova doima, this is compared. Le'evet shemavakish pras l'rabbi, the servant who's asking for something from his master. Va'oma lohem, and the master said to his agents, hamtinu loi ad sheyismak meik v'itztayer. No, don't give him what he's asking for yet. Wait till he's really humbled and really distressed. Like, push him to the very last minute. And only then give him what he needs. So the fact that Hashem waited so long, not necessarily it's because he wanted our tefillas, but maybe because he wanted us to really be distressed and humbled, and therefore he pushed us till the very end. Continues the Gemara. According to Shmuel HaKotan, when is there a sign that the community is the credit of the tzibur of the community that brought the rain? Says the Gemara, Omar, Ma'ashiv Aruach, V'noshav Zika. If the Shliach Tzibur says the words Ma'ashiv Aruach, and immediately the wind starts to blow, and V'omar Moirid Ageshem, and as soon as he says the words Moirid Ageshem, also Mitra, and then the rain comes down, that is clearly a sign that Hashem wants to hear the tefillas, waited for the tefillas, and then immediately gave them the rain without delaying it any longer. Continues the Gemara. Ma'ase v'gozu tainis belud. This was the final part of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah said that there was a fast day in Lud, and then at some point of Tarfon told them that you can, since the rain had come, then he told them that you can eat and drink and turn it into a Yom Tov and then say the Halil. Asks the Gemara, V'neima Halil mi Kora, why don't they say Halil straight away before they even go home to eat? Answers the Gemara, Abaye v'Rava d'Omra Tarvayu, Abaye v'Rava both explained, Lefi she'ein oimrim Halil, one does not say Halil, Elo al nefesh tzveo v'keres maleo, only on a full stomach, only a satiated person is in a state of saying the Halil. And the reason they said this Halil, which was Tehillim, Perek Kuf Lamed Vav, is because in this Perek it says, Noisein Lechem L'chol Bosar, the Hashem gives nourishment to all flesh, Ki L'Olam Chazdoi. Asks the Gemara, Eini, is it true that only somebody who's satiated and on a full stomach one says the Halil? Rav Papa ikle le beiknishta de Avi Goivar. Rav Papa was visiting this shul of Abi Goivar, which is either the name of a place or the name of a person, the Gozar Tanis, and he proclaimed a fast day because there was no rain. The Yordulem Goshomim at Chatzois, and the rain fell before Chatzois. The Omer Halil. And he first said the Halil, v'charkach ochlu v'shosu, and only afterwards they went home to eat and drink, which was the opposite of what we mentioned before. Answers the Gemara, shani b'nei Mechoiza, the people of Mechoiza, which is where that incident happened, that's different to shchichu b'shikrus, because it was very common that they should get drunk, and if you're going to allow them to eat and drink first, they may become drunk, and then they wouldn't come back to the shul to say Halil. Therefore, if Papa said, first say the Halil, and then go home to eat and drink. Hadron Aloch Seid the Tainis Eilu B'siat Dishmai. We finished the third perek in Maseches Tainis. In Mirtz Hashem, we're going to review and do Chazora on the third perek, and in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next perek of Maseches Tainis.